The Hannity kicking gonna stop. It's gonna start now. It's gonna run through the summer, and it's hot, hot, hot.
It's Monday night. I'm sitting down here at the bar. It's 10 p.m. on the East Coast. It is 7 p.m. on the West Coast. And who knows what the hell time it is, Mountain Time. What is it, 2 hours behind? 2 hours? Yeah, 2 hours behind. So it's 8 o'clock Mountain Time. That's what we got going on. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. I am your host. My name is Chef Plum. And I'm sitting down here at the bar in the basement. Just popped me the top on a Montauk Hop Blonde Ale. It is fantastic. And you guys, I tell you what, I'm driving home from my client in Greenwich. I was checking out some of the debate, and I try really hard not to be political because, frankly, I don't know. I think when all you have to vote for is shit, all you're going to get is shit. Shit is shit. I don't care how much whipped cream you put on it, it's still shit. But let me tell you something. It's entertaining as hell to watch two pieces of shit fight each other. I think it's fucking great. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. Right now, we are having a good time. I'm popping a top on a cold one, you know, and I couldn't be sitting here by myself. I'll tell you why I couldn't be sitting here by myself, because here in the tri-state area, we had a really, really fun event that just happened. And a show regular, good friend of mine, a gentleman who, from a culinary standpoint, I respect tremendously. He's a fantastic cook. He is a good buddy of mine. And not only that, this man came and he defended his championship in the Connecticut Chef's Challenge. Ladies and gentlemen, if I may.
DJ Khaled! Yeah! All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the
2016 Connecticut Chef's Challenge champion, the one, the only, the venerable Chef Adam Bodini. Chef, what's happening? How are you?
What's going on, Plum? How you doing, brother?
See, I gave you quite a build-up there with excitement, drama, climax, and you come in with, hey, what's going on? I even gave you All I Do Is Win, because let me tell you something, bro. That's all you did do. You win twice in a row, defending the championship like a champion, dude, man. Congratulations. That was awesome.
Thanks, brother. 2 years running, man. I told you I was going to bring my A game. I told them. I even gave him a picture. Told him. See if you can handle it, you know?
And let me tell you what. I was hosting this event, as everyone's pretty much aware of and knows I host events and whatnot. And I was sitting there with the judges, and we tasted your food amidst controversy, by the way. It seemed like the clock got messed up or something. We were doing your food. I don't know what it was. Shit happens. It was fucking crazy. But after I tasted your dish, I looked right at one of our judges, fellow show regular, the one, the only, Ryan Christopher, and I looked at him, and I said, he just won, didn't he? Because that was awesome. And Ryan was like, damn, that was crazy. And that was the case, man. I tell you what, there was some great food there, but it was tough. You were tough on the beat, because that was good, and you went last, which I'll tell you what, in a competition, in my opinion, going last is always key.
Yeah, you know, hats off to all the chefs, everybody. They all did a great job competing. And, you know, I mean, I had to go big, you know. I had to do it bigger than last year, you know. I blew their minds away last year. Got to go even harder this year, you know. And next year, you know, I mean, anyone that wants to try and compete, bring it on. I'm ready. I'm already getting the ball rolling on next year.
Hey, tell them what the dish was you made.
Well, I did like a bacon three-way, bacon trifecta, I guess you could say is what it was called. We did bacon dashi, vermicelli noodles, sous vide pork belly. And then we took a pickle. We pickled the hibiscus flower and filled it with bacon jam. And then we garnished it with a togarashi spiked sweet potato.
Wow. And those sweet potatoes were spirals, weren't they?
Yeah, they were like little fried curls.
Yeah, it was crispy, which is what was awesome, because you hit everything with that dish. You hit all the flavors are there, but you really, you know, too many chefs don't pay attention to texture. And one chef in particular did a pork chop dish. And before the event, I'm talking to him. I'm like, dude, I would undercook that pork chop. And he was like, yeah, I plan on, I'm going to. When we got to it, guess what wasn't undercooked? The pork chop. And I think when you do something like a competition, you try to do a pork chop dish, man, you're asking for trouble, dude. What do you think?
The dish looked good. I like the way he put it together. But yeah, you know, I mean, it's 2016, you know, pork chop,
exactly.
You know, we got to do something a little more modern with the times, keeping up with the beat. You know what I'm saying? Is make it something that they would never have seen before, you know?
No doubt. I mean, and I tell you what, that dish, as our good friend and my brother, Chef Mark Henry, just chimed in and said, that dish sounds money. And I tell you what, it was money, dude, because it was amazing how you hit everything. It had that umami in there, too, which was phenomenal. And once we tasted it, it really was. I tasted it. I wasn't a judge. I looked right at the judges and said, I think this man just won. And you did. You won in dramatic fashion, too, which I loved. I thought it was great how, you know, you were there with your belt setting up on your station from last year. Because for those of you who don't know, in this event, it's a pretty big event. But we don't, at this event, there's no trophies. There's no trophies. There's no ribbons, none of that shit. What do you get when you win this? Like, what do we have in place of a trophy? Tell them, Chef. What do you get?
You win a freaking championship belt.
Damn
you don't
right.
Take trophies home. We take belt home.
Damn right. You take the freaking belt home. That's what's up. That's what I'm talking about. And, you know, I think the idea last year, they asked me about it, and that's how the whole belt thing came in. Imagine that. The belt was my idea. But having the belt be a part of it, to me, I'm just trying to – it's a show, man. People are there to watch a show, and they want to see a show. You know what I mean? They want to see a show. They want to be involved in that. And I think that, you know, having a belt kind of adds to a little bit of the trash talking. You know, some of the guys were afraid to, but – you know, you weren't. And I got to give a big shout out to our buddy Dan Monroe, Dark Horse, man. He again, second year in a row being there, had a great showing. He won People's Choice. He had a tea smoked duck dish. It was great. It was a really nice dish.
Beautiful, beautiful dish.
And, I mean, there was a lot of great food there. There really was. I think what I like most about this event, and I said it at the event, and you remember, is that it's a great way. I mean, we live so close to New York City that I feel like we kind of get looked over a little bit here in Connecticut and what we have. But you know, this event really, really, truly does showcase, you know, a lot of great local chefs. We have chefs from all over the state. People travel to be a part of this event. And it was great to see some new faces competing and showing what they've got.
Yeah, it's wonderful. You know, like you said, we kind of get looked over upon because we're not New York or not, you know, California or anything like that, you know.
Right.
But there are a lot of great chefs and there's so much great talent in this state. It's unbelievable.
Well, I said it at the event. I was like, listen, even New York City, I mean, listen, they're going to have great food and great restaurants. I get it. But half the shit that you've heard me say this before, the stuff they're going to get is coming from us. Like their oysters come from us. Their fish is going to come from us or come from Long Island. And you know, a lot of the vegetables, same thing, come from us, come from Long Island. They don't grow these things in New York City. Like it has to come from us. So it's going to be fresher and better from us. But I think, unfortunately, we get so many great chefs here. Go and work in New York City and don't try to make something happen themselves in our state. But this event really showcases those who do take the opportunity to make that happen. And I think you're one of those guys. I mean, dude, you run a food truck that you make amazing food out of. And it's you go to an event like this and you freaking drop a hammer on somebody with a bacon menage a trois.
Thank you, Chef. Thank you very much. No, yeah, it's, I mean, you know, I mean, it's hard. I try to put as much skill and taste and flavor into all my dishes. I put my passion, my heart, my soul into every plate to make it look as good as I could possibly make it, I guess, is what yeah, that's about it.
Well, I got a great event for you next year to try to go to, and it's where I met tonight's guest, Chef Brother Luck, a really, really cool motherfucker. It was in New Orleans, and called the Chef's Taste Challenge. You know, what you go to these big events like this that are national, I mean, listen, you go to have fun. That's what it's about. And I tell you what, this event, I went, and Brother Luck was working with Chef Mark Henry, another fantastic chef who was just a really, really good dude. A complete filth bag. I know he's listening right now, but filth bag, terrible human being, but a great guy. But I met Chef Brother Luck because he went down.
We all bunch of filth bags.
Yeah. But he went down to work with Chef Mark Henry, and we kind of all just hung out, had a great time. And this event, I think that you should go to it next year. And hey, I'll go with you if I'm not going to host it. Which, hey, anybody who's listening, hint, hint, there's talk that I might host the event next year. How about that? But you got to come down because I think you kick ass at it.
I would love to rock it, man. That's what I do, man.
Yeah, I think. So listen, what do you think, man? So these competitions and these festivals, and I'll tell you what, man, the festival, by the way, Chef Mark Henry just said, keep talking dirty, big boy. Jeff, just so you know, I'm sitting here rubbing coconut oil on my lathered body wearing a Speedo that has tassels in the front. I'm doing that for you, sir. I want to talk about festivals really quick. I want to ask Chef Bud Luck about this too. And anybody else wants to throw a little feedback in, but especially you, Chef, like, you know, there's all these festivals that happen. You know, here locally we have, you know, Greenwich Food and Wine Festival, which is a huge festival. It's on the par with like Aspen Food and Wine or the LA Food and Wine or South Beach Food and Wine Festival. And man, you know, I got asked if I wanted to hang out and be a part of this one this year. Like I got asked, so, and I said no, and I'll tell you why, man. As big as it is, as many people that come to this festival, I think it's degrading to the local chefs, man. They bring these guys in, they make money off of them. They bring these Food Network guys in and like make the local guys interview the Food Network guys. I think it should be the other way around. Like, hell, half these guys on Food Network that don't still cook, I'm not saying everybody, but a lot of them, generalizing, I'll cook under the table any fucking day of the week because they don't cook anymore. They don't fucking get it. They don't know. But yet we'll have these festivals. We'll charge people $200 to come. We'll make the restaurants, you know, come and cook and have to set their time and their money to be a part of it. Sometimes even charging them to be a part of the event and not give them anything out of it but a little publicity. I'm going to be honest, man. I kind of think it sucks, bro. You and I have talked a little bit about this before, and I know I'm kind of on my soapbox, but what do you think?
You know, it's kind of tough, you know, in my position right now, you know, it's tough because I'm still a new business. I would love to do events like that because it's publicity, but, you know, there's got to be some sort of incentive for chefs, you know, and food business owners and restaurant owners to you know, to help do that because they're also putting their time, their labor, their money into these events, and it's got to be worth it for everybody, you know.
I mean, I think in general, restaurants, man, you've been in the restaurant business for a long time and stuff, and you're a small business owner. You don't have money to spend. You know, well, it's going to be $400 to come be at the event, and then, you know, whatever you want to serve, obviously, you got to buy all that stuff and pay someone to be there. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of shitty. All small business. Like, listen, there's some restaurant, you know, groups that, you know, that's nothing to them, and they can go, and it's awesome. You know, they have no problem doing that. They can pay that. Not a problem. A lot of guys, I don't know, they can't do that. Like, they can't afford to do that shit.
Right. You know, there's a lot of good quality, like, businesses that can't afford to do things like that that get overlooked, you know? And it's not...
I mean, you're the Chef's Challenge champion. I'd put you up against any of those guys. I mean, there's some great cooks there. Don't get me wrong. But I'd put you against any of them.
Right. I could handle it. I'm not worried.
You're not a great... But you're not a Greenwich Food and Wine, but you should be. You know, that's what bothers me. Like, it shouldn't be, they just, especially, you know, being so close to New York, they just focus so much on it. Man, I don't know. I've never been to Aspen. I've never been to South Beach. I want to go to South Beach because I have a great new bikini to wear. But I want to, but it just
you,
to
you
go to be a part of it.
What'd you say? Can't put a price on craft. I don't think you should be able to put a price on a craft like ours, you know? It's not,
yeah,
like,
man,
I want to.
They should be. I mean, inviting these people to go, they should be bringing them in. They should invite them to be there, treat them like royalty. You know, listen, you want to have something cool happen with like the Food Network people? Great. Have fucking Paula Deen. No, Paula Deen's not there anymore. Have Ree Drummond, or whatever the fuck her name is, who's never worked in a hotel in her life, who's never set a slave behind a line, who's never paid any fucking dues. Have her interview Chef Adam Bedini instead of having somebody talk to her like she's fucking royalty. You know what I mean? You know, I know you want to have these people come who have a little bit of a following because they're trying to make a big event, but at some point, it's got to be about the food. And I tell you what, man, this shit, it bothers me so much, brother, to a point that I think I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to end up fucking, you watch, you know how I get, and I'll get focused on it, and I'll make something happen.
I'll go sling it down in Greenwich.
Nah, man, fuck Greenwich. We'll do it up around here or something. I don't know. I keep going to Mark Henry because he's chiming into me here because that's my dude, but he's right. He says, why isn't it about the food anymore instead of getting publicity? And he's right. It's not about the food, and not at all. And that's what it should be about. You know, people are so hype and so concerned about, you know, a great example, a couple episodes ago we were talking, and one of the things came up is that when you go to get a new chef job or work at a hotel, they asked Omar what his fucking Instagram following was. Isn't that crazy?
Are you kidding? Are you kidding?
Isn't that fucking crazy? Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
Man. Wow. That's unbelievable.
Instead of being like, hey, man, can you cook? Yeah. I mean, it's like, just, I don't know, man.
That's a little far-fetched to ask, and if you ask me, I'd rather not, you know. Paper and skills are one thing. If you could, I don't really even look at a resume. I want to know what you could do on the grill, you know, or you know, how could you handle it? Like getting hit with 20 tickets at once. Can you do two at a time, or do you do five at a time, or do you cook one, you know? You know, a piece of paper is nothing to me, you know?
Right. Absolutely. 100%. Look, I know Adam Richman's got history. I know that. He's a good dude. Yeah. I've talked to him. He's a nice fucking guy. But truth be told, I would annihilate him in a kitchen on a Friday night. He'd have no, could he work the pass? Could he do, fuck no. You know, what dues has he paid? You know, I don't know. It drives me crazy when you have great chefs locally around here who have done amazing things, and we have some amazing food here, but they still kind of get pushed secondary to having these quote, quote celebrities come in. Now there is a few, there is a few exceptions to the rule, all right? Chef Chris Santos can cook his ass off, and he still does, and Chef is killing it. I mean, I'm not saying everybody, you know, I mean, Chef Santos is great. He can still, I mean, he can do it. You know, there's guys who are like that. Can Anthony Bourdain do that anymore? No, not at all.
I'd like to see that, though. I would like to see it. I don't know. He's a legend, though.
No doubt.
He's a legend. You can't knock that guy. You see, that guy's gone through hell and back through New York City, and you know. But there are chefs out there, you know, that shouldn't be where they are, and the ones that are sitting in the backfield, they should be up there. I think, you know.
There you go. And I'm just going to chime in for you one more time, Chef Mark Henry, as you sit there from your motorcycle accident. Listen, brother. We called that fucking whole dish in the ring when we got there. He said to me, how long does it take me to make a snapper ceviche, not how many followers you have? And he's right. That's a good question. That's a great question. I know he's busting balls on me, but I tell you what, when we went to New Orleans, we had no idea what we were making until we got there. Just FYI, I knew I was going to make mayo with pecan. That's all I knew. Yeah, that's true. Wait, you want the water again? I lost you. Can't hear you.
No, I can hear you.
There you go. I don't know, man. These festivals drive me crazy, and I hope to one day be able to change that shit. You know, I mean, I hope one day to maybe make a festival where it's all about the food. You know, I tried really hard to make the Chef's Challenge more about the food than anything else. I think we accomplished that, and that's what made it such a kind of a fun event. How do you feel about that?
Well, we should make something happen in Newtown.
Damn right. I got a farm right down the street where we can put 1,200 people.
That's what I'm saying. Do a huge pop-up. We'll do a bunch of stuff.
There you go. Look here. Let me tell you something right now, man. I want to give you a giant congratulations. You kicked ass. You won this event last year, and you came in and defended your belt again this year. I highly recommend you check out Adam Bedini on Facebook. You can see he posted the winning video when we announced the winner and stuff, which was great. And you kicked ass, brother, and I hope to see you back there again next year.
Dude, we're gonna have to do it. 3 years running. I'm setting records, man. We're making history right now, Flo.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Because we should be. Because you took every other competitor. And I tell you what, they were boom, shot them down, gone. You blew them down. I'm trying to get my sound effects in. How about that? Look here, Adam, you're awesome. I'm happy to be your friend. I hold you in high regard as a chef, and I think you kicked ass, brother. And I look forward to seeing what you do next time.
Thank you, Sensei.
Jesus Christ. Hey, do me a favor. You've worked with me doing catering work another time. Tell fucking Mark Makito I still cook my ass off.
Mark Makito, this man cooks his ass off. Don't you worry about it. We slay it. We kill it. We crush it.
I'll destroy that motherfucker. I'll destroy that motherfucker.
All day, every day.
You know what it is? Listen, here's the problem. He's 75 years old. If he wasn't 75 years old, then he would understand it. It would make more sense to him.
If he was in his prime, he would kill us.
There you go. Hey, look here, I'm going to play this for you on your way out when you get on down the road. But I tell you what, man, I'm proud of you, and you kicked ass. And thanks for coming on tonight and talking about it.
DJ
Khaled! Hey,
yeah, all I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough.
Mr. Chef Adam Bodini, I tell you what, that event was a good-ass time. So he went in there and kicked ass. He really, really did. He went in there. He showed him what was up, and I tell you, I couldn't be more proud of the guy. I really couldn't be. Check it out, guys. I'm going to play a quick spot, and we're going to come right back here, and we're going to talk to the one, the only, my man, Chef Brother Luck. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live right here on Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn FM, or maybe it's tomorrow, and you're listening via iTunes or the podcast thing on iTunes or Apple, whatever they call it, shit. See, I'm good at getting things out and spitting things out, so there you have it. Check it out, guys. I'll be right back. Here is, let's play a song. I'm not going to play a spot. I'll do commercials later. I'm going to play a song. Yeah, songs. Let's do this. Here you go, guys. Check it out. We'll be right back, guys. Hang tight.
We're friends like you. Who needs enemies? You ain't right. You ain't never going to be. You're out of the car. I'm afraid.
Wait a minute. That's for my man, Mark Henry. Here you go, brother.
You shake my hand while you're pissing on my leg. I'm cutting you loose. I don't need this mentally. Your soul is toxic. You ain't no friend now. You're gonna stand my back. You're
but you ain't never gonna be a soulless toxic, and you ain't no friend of mine.
Some groovy music right there. Look, is that baby making music? Is that what that is? I don't know. Maybe it is baby making music. Look here. I don't know if it's baby making music, but if you're going to make some babies and you're going to work in the kitchen, let me tell you something. You got to have that caffeine. You got to have something to keep you going. You got to have that little extra, that little kick in the butt. You know what I mean? Just to kind of get it going. We're cooks. We're chefs, man. We're hospitality people. We work long ass fucking hours. Long ass hours. I tell you what, chefs like my man Mark Henry, who's laying on the couch right now out in Colorado, I'm going to tell you what you need, brother, is some Birds of a Feather Coffee Company. That's right, Birds of a Feather Coffee. They are doing small batch craft coffee out of Tampa, Florida. They use the highest quality specialty grade beans. Their blends are complex, approachable, and let me tell you something, because it's a small batch, it's always fresh. Even when you order it when it comes in the mail, it was roasted right before it came to you. I'm telling you what. Check out, I'm telling you, one of my favorites I'm checking out right now, the Night Owl Blend. It's deep and rich, and it highlights that caramel sweetness and cocoa molasses undertone. It's pretty crazy. This coffee, for those coffee snobs, is the way to go. I'm telling you, Birds of a Feather Coffee Company, fantastic out of Tampa, Florida. You can order online at birdscoffeecompany.com. That's birdscoffeecompany.com. You can even sign up for a monthly subscription so you never run out of your favorite. I'm telling you what, once a month, every 3 months, whatever you need. These guys are killing it. Birds of a Feather Coffee Company, they are awesome. Check them out at birdscoffeecompany.com. That's right, guys. My knife is smarter than yours. That's right, smarter. I'm talking Ergo Chef Knives. The unique patented shape makes it more of an extension of your hand. The curved handle of an Ergo Chef Knives allows for smoother cutting and less fatigue in your hand. Listen, I use these knives every day, and they are fantastic. They're my go-to knives. If I use a normal knife, like a regular chef knife anymore, my hands start to hurt and feel achy. Trust me, guys, I'm not making this up. These knives are the jam. Check them out at ergochef.com. That's ergochef.com. And tell them Chef Plum sent you by using the promo code PLUM15OFF and get 15% off your purchase. Mike and Scott are great dudes over there, so check them out at ergochef.com. And yeah, that's a good ass song. That little fun, little pilot. How long have you heard that? Coming back live right now on Plum Love Foods Live. What the fuck is that? What the hell are we doing? Weird little back and forth. Coming back live right now. Tell you what, man. Looking forward to having this conversation, man. I met this gentleman down in New Orleans. He was helping out my friend, Chef Mark Henry. We've heard from multiple times tonight, I'll tell you. He's in here running his mouth. I would expect no less. And I tell you what, the best part about this gentleman right now, he's telling me that he has a bowling game tonight that he was doing. He had to go play bowling, but he said, Chef, don't worry, my bowling game is on point. Because he knows I was worried about his bowling game while trying to do this interview. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Chef Brother Luck. Chef, what's happening?
What's good? You know me, I'm trying to,
hey.
Get to the point where I got to walk around in them boat shoes, man. that's big money right there. That's
oh, shit.
For. Like, I don't even want a cell phone.
Look, I'm just trying to carry
boat
like
shoes in a P.O. box.
There you go. I want boat shoes and a carrier pigeon on my fucking shoulder named Rodney. And when I need to talk to somebody, I send Rodney with a note to your house. That's what's
up.
You
put that shit in a bottle and send it in.
Look, so you try to wear the boat shoes. Are you going to wear them tight-ass little white shorts, too, that come up way too high over your knee?
Nah, man, I'm going straight Hawaiian. Like, I'm rocking the flowers. It's happening.
There you go. Dude, you're bowling right now. You're fucking doing bowling league.
Hell yeah. You know, I'm trying to get as far away from the ghetto as possible. So I think I'm on track. Golfing and bowling. That's what I'm about right now. You know, you keep that back.
Dude, I could never.
We can ball on the court, but I'm good.
I can't golf to save my fucking life. All I do is end up drinking. But you know, I have a problem with that.
I thought that was golfing.
Hey man, look.
News to me.
Wait, you supposed to do some more shit besides drink when you golf? What the fuck are you talking about? Hey, look here, man. I met you down in New Orleans, man. You were one of the coolest motherfuckers ever I met down there. You and Chef Mark Henry, two very, very cool guys. Two, when you do the competitions like that that we were in, and I use that term competition loosely, to me, it becomes more and more about just meeting other chefs from across the country, making friends, making connections, man. How is that for you?
Man, those events, man, they're always great just because it's all about going out afterwards, you know, getting a mm-hmm. network, getting to see what everybody is about, seeing where your skills stack up, where do your knife and kitchen movement kind of fall in line. I love doing those events. You know, every time I get an invite, I'm all about it just because it's great to go to a different region and learn their ingredients, learn their kitchen, learn their work ethic, and you know, the fact that you get to meet other chefs, that's a bonus.
And man, all we did was run our mouths the whole time. That's what we just ran our mouths the whole fucking time. I mean, it was great. It's so much fun.
There was like, a lot of shit.
I tell guys, yeah, but it's fun. And that's what we do. And like, you know, when you go to these events, I tell other chefs too, I'm like, listen, it's not really about, nobody gives a fuck who wins. At least I don't. I don't give a fuck who wins. To me, it's about going, meeting these guys and learning stuff. And then, you know, a few weeks down the line, being able to have a conversation with, you know, someone like you who has done what you've done. And, you know, I never would have met you had it not been in New Orleans. I think it's awesome. I think that's what it's about.
Oh, it would have happened. It was fate. We were going to meet eventually anyway. I was going to do the show one way or the other. Like, you can't be that cool and not be in the circle. So,
right.
It was going to happen.
At some point, we'd have been drinking beers on a golf course and wearing them boat shoes. That's what we'd have been doing at some point.
You see what I'm saying? I ain't getting shot at.
I'm not getting shot at. Look, where are you from originally, man? Where were you born?
I'm born in San Francisco, raised in the Bay Area, Oakland, California. Yee.
Yep.
And you know, cooking took me off the streets, man. It gave me an opportunity. It gave me a skill set and took me around the world. You know, I'm good with that. Could have turned out a lot worse.
See, I think there's a generation of cooks now. You and I think, are roughly probably that same generation of cooks. I mean, I've been working about 20 years in the business. So you're probably about the same, right?
Yeah, coming up on 19, getting old.
See, it's the same generation.
But I still look young.
No, you look amazing. You look good,
yeah,
man.
These,
you look good. Ain't nobody
behind
that.
These fucking millennials, man. Let's talk about that. These fucking millennials right now. Like,
that's where I'm going.
I'm
that's
done.
Where I'm going.
You know, I think. No, I'm going to drop
right
one
here,
on you. We had one. You know, we ain't going to drop no names. But we had one intern. And he asked us, he said, what's 9 hashtags of cream cheese mean in this recipe?
Oh, my God. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, I'm just going to I'm going to let you sit on that.
Oh, shit.
You mean pounds?
No, man. I hope you said, look, you got to take this picture 9 times and put it on Instagram. That's what it means.
Nah. Yeah, he earned the nickname
dude.
Hashtag for a while.
Oh, I'll bet that's a good ass nickname for that dude. No fucking doubt. Hey, I had a girl ask me, Chef, I had a girl ask me what time the 5:30 party's coming.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, wait, and the worst part is when you drop like a reference on them and you like, you know, like Alf. And they're like,
yeah, man.
And you're like, you're fired. Get the fuck out of my kitchen.
You know what the fuck Alf is?
If you don't know what Alf is, you can't. Yeah. Yeah, you done.
See, I'm about to cook up a whole plate of cats for this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Wow. You're right, though, man. It's crazy. What I think what drives me the most nuts about the whole thing, dude, is the work ethic of these people, man. There's so many opportunities and people I know that work with me, and you give them opportunities, and And they're like, nah, I'd rather just be, you know, in my mid-20s living in my parents' basement and not trying to make shit happen. Like, I moved out when I was 17 years old, never looked back. Like, I don't get it. You know, food is given. Yeah, go for it.
They don't get it at all, man. They don't get it at all. It's horrible to watch the work ethic right now because, you know, when we were coming up, it was like you actually had to go research and ask and pay attention to the chef doing the job. And he wouldn't tell you anything. You had to watch and write your own notes. You know, now it's like they go hide in a walk-in and they hit YouTube real quick and they all of a sudden they know how to debone a chicken, you know?
Right. I'm gonna be honest with you. I wish I could have done that shit when I was in school. Video. I wish I could have done that shit when I was 19. That'd have been awesome. I'd have been a smart motherfucker because all I did was read shit and fucking study.
Instead I was the one sitting there with the glossary copy in the back learning my definitions. But shame on
See,
me.
See, that's what's up. Nah, man. But you're right, man. I think it's crazy to do this sort of stuff. I tell you what, those millennials ain't got shit when it comes to a bowling game either, do they?
Not at all.
So you went far away again. See, I think you put your phone down to go bowl or some shit. All right, so he's getting the ball. That's what he's doing. He's picking his ball to go roll it down the quick. The man right now literally is doing his bowling league for the evening, which is crazy. And like I said, when he sent me the text, he said, don't worry, my bowling game is good, homie.
You know some bullshit. I'm sitting here fucking around with you. The miss the strike, and now I got to buy shots for the whole table.
Oh,
that's
shit.
That's how that shit goes.
Yeah. Well, look,
hold on. Let me pick this shit up real quick.
All right, there it goes. I couldn't believe he told me his bowling game was good. Because I tell you what, I used to love bowling.
I'm going to give you the chef's wife.
Okay. I'm going to show a video with you to see what's happening here.
We're going to give you her. Hold on.
Okay. All right, there we go.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm so good. How are you guys?
Hey, are you winning? Are you winning the game right now? What's the score?
I mean... Yes, listen, I have a strike, and brother just missed his strike, so he's about to buy a round of shots for everybody. That's a real thing.
How many people are playing this bowling game right now?
Okay, well, there's like, I don't know, 20 teams, but there are 5 on our team and 5 on the competitor's team.
All right.
And if you want to know more about Stinky Chef, when I come back, here. Here's brother. Have fun.
There we go.
See, that's teamwork right there. Teamwork makes the dream work, baby.
Boom, up top. That's what I'm talking about. Look here, I was about to ask her about going to gay bars.
Oh, she would have came with us. That shit was hilarious.
I bet.
So So did you already tell them? So we was down there with Leanne Wong.
Mm-hmm.
And she obviously filmed Top Chef season down there. She was like, I got all the spots. So she takes us to this like carousel bar and we do some whiskey shots. And then she's like, all right, we're gonna go to this place. We're walking down Bourbon Street. Next thing you know, we sitting in a gay bar. You know, it ain't nothing wrong with it. It's actually kind of nice because it was quiet.
The balcony was sweet though. The balcony was
and
dope, wasn't it?
I don't think any of us knew. I think one of the cooks got hit on. And was like, I think we're in the wrong place.
I think it was Chef Ruiz or whatever. Yeah, Chef Ruiz, I think, got hit on.
Somebody got hit on because I was like, you know, if we was locked up, I mean, it'd be the same scenario.
If we were locked up, what are you talking about? We're not locked up. Look, I'll go a lot of places with you, brother. I'll go a lot of places, but I'm not going to jail with you. That's not happening. I'm not going to care with you.
Just don't be my celly.
Hey, man, what got you into food, man? Because you've done a lot of shit.
Man, I was very fortunate. I've had an amazing career. I was in competitions at a very young age, and that's actually how I went to culinary school. I won a $30,000 scholarship at 17 years old to the Art Institute. And
that's awesome.
You know, both my parents were hardcore foodies. I mean, my mother's from Louisiana. She's Cajun. My father's Creole. So, you know, that mixture of so many ethnicities, we grew up on good food. And once I got into culinary, it was like they gave me a textbook and I was like, man, I don't do homework. And they were like, nah, it's cooking. And I was like, for real? Like, you gonna teach me how to cook some shit? So you know, once I got into a culinary textbook, it was on. I mean, it's just nonstop education. Here we are 20 years later. I'm still studying.
Yeah, man. And I think that's the key thing. You were talking about the millennials before. I think that's what it is, man. Like, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years, and I try to learn something new every day. I think there's so much more to learn every day. I think a lot of these guys, these young guys, you know, they come out of culinary school and think they got it all down.
Yeah, and they don't even want to fucking stage. You know what I mean? Like, I'm 33, and I'm still staging. Like, you know, just for the education. I got no problem walking into somebody else's kitchen and being humble and being on my game with my knife sharp and moving fast and listening and fucking picking up whatever I can. These kids come in these kitchens today, and they, you know, they want a fucking position. It's like, nah, fool, wash dishes.
Right, right. And that's what it is. You got to earn your way up, man. I'll tell you what, in this business, respect is everything. But once you get that respect, the respect you get in this business from your peers, there's nothing like it in the world, man. There's just nothing like it. It's not a better feeling because you earned it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's one of those few industries where it don't – I think that's the beauty about culinary is in kitchens mainly. Is it doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your fucking money status. Like, all that matters is your last fucking plate, your last service. Like, don't nobody give a shit who your daddy is. Nobody cares about what school you went to. Like, step the fuck up, don't burn the shit, and let's go.
It's like you walk in the door and like, oh, I don't give a fuck who the fuck you are. Can you go? Can you be a part of this team? Can you uphold your end of the bargain so you don't fuck the rest of us over? Because if you can, you're cool. We're down. If you can't, go back to the dish pit, dog.
Yeah. Don't tell me what you've done. Show me what you're going to do. Like, I want to see it. I don't give a fuck.
That's it. That's it right there. So look, you were talking about going around all over the place. You were talking about going all over the place, man. You spent a lot of time overseas here recently, man. Talk about that.
Man, I'm telling you, you go to China, especially being my size, you know, and I'm 6'2", 240. Like, you realize real quick what an immigrant is. Like, it's a trip over there, man. I mean, it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful, the way they think, the you know, and I'm talking China and Japan, especially Japan, man. I fell in love with the Japanese culture. Like, I can't wait to go back. The philosophies, the approaches, it's life-changing, man. It's life-changing, you know, and I got to work at some beautiful Michelin restaurants and get some great experience, so.
How did that work? How'd you get hooked up with that?
So when I was in high school, I was a part of a program called CCAP. CCAP was in New York, Chicago, D.C., Philly. They work with inner city kids to get them into culinary. And that's how I won my scholarship was with them. As an alumni, I've stayed very in touch with that program since I graduated high school all those years ago. They still offer opportunities for their alumni. So I started working with the Gohan Society and applied for the scholarship to go to Japan. Won the opportunity to go to Japan to do 2 weeks in a traditional kaiseki restaurant. And when I was getting ready to go, they were like, do you want to go to China too? Because we want to give you another scholarship. So they gave me $5,000 grant from the Joyce and Helen Chen Foundation to go spend time in China. So I traveled to Shanghai and Hong Kong all by myself, no interpreters, just cooking, eating, you know, and pointing and Google Translate a lot.
Wow, that's fucking crazy, man. And
yeah,
your wife
was
cool with that?
Keep talking so I can throw this ball. Yeah, she, you know.
Oh, you gotta throw the ball.
Didn't want me to go, but yeah. Now keep talking, though. I'm listening.
But it's an opportunity. When you get an opportunity like that, man, I think you gotta take it because traveling overseas and being able to travel through China and Japan, and that's a once in a lifetime thing right there to be able to go and do that, and not only do that, but do that on somebody else's dime. Like, it didn't cost you any money to go make that happen. And not only that, having that sort of a grant to go do that, maybe even be able to take some of that money and, you know, help out with the mortgage, with the rent, whatever you had to do while you were gone, missing that time from work. Is that kind of how that worked out? Damn, I was hoping I was right there on point, but I guess I was wrong. But, I mean, I, you know, those opportunities – I mean, it doesn't come very often. So I think when you
get a chance to
do something like that, you got to do it.
It was a blessing, and like I said, man, life changing, and I'm thankful I got to experience it.
But when you do something like that, man, you can travel across and you do it on somebody else's dime. That makes it even better. But, you know, just taking some of that grant money that you got to go, do you get to, like, take some of that and put it towards maybe the mortgage or the rent? Why? Because you're not working during that time, and, like, be able to give some of that to the wife to help, you know, kind of pay the bills to make up for the fact you're not working?
What's that?
Be able to take some of the money that you got, like, to be able to pay the bills or whatever, because, like, you left your job and whatnot to go for 2 weeks and do that shit. I'm sorry, to go and travel and do that.
No,
to use some of that money to pay some...
I almost do shit, that. I've got an amazing team. Huh?
Yeah. No, I got you. I got you now. So the restaurant was still running.
Yeah, the restaurant was still running, and, you know, I have an amazing team that they just, you know, they held it down, and I'm so thankful to be around such great people. You know, Mark Henry always tells me, you know, we don't hire talent, we create it, we develop it. And that's a true statement, man. You're only as good as your day off.
Right, right. But nobody likes that guy anyway, so it's cool.
You gotta like him. He's got the sympathy card right now. He's hurt.
Look, there you go. Look, here it is for him. Well, there it is right there for Mark Henry. He does have a sympathy card. He got in quite an accident, man. We're pulling for him. I hope he does better in the long run and heals up fine and is back in the kitchen soon enough. Hey, look here, man. You've done a little TV stuff in your time too, bro. You actually went on there and you beat Bobby Flay, right?
I took him out, man. I took him out. You know, I was thankful to get the opportunity to do the show. It's always a hell of an experience, but to actually win was icing on the cake. And I mean, you know, that's, we grew up watching Bobby Flay. I remember watching him against Morimoto. Like, to have that chance was, like, you know what I mean? You're in the same kitchen with this dude. Like, that was pretty intense. And like I said, man, I took him out on his
was
own.
Was he cool?
Turf.
Was it cool to
he
you?
Cool
because I'll tell you what, man. When I first met him, I mean, I probably met him 2003. He was quite the douchebag.
Yeah, I think he's grown up a little bit. I mean, you know, you got to give it to his people to take a negative and turn it into a positive. Like, nobody likes him, and they're going to turn around and say, all right, well, if y'all don't like him, come beat him. Like, that's a hell of a fucking marketing team if I ever seen one. Like, that was genius. But
it's
he was cool.
Fucking company.
I mean, he was cordial. We didn't get a lot of time with him. You know, who is my favorite though, man? Robert Irvine. I did a show with Robert Irvine. That dude, straight up, like, he's all muscle bound, but what you see on TV is exactly who he is. He tells the cameras to fuck off. I'm talking to the chefs right now, and it's important.
Does he really?
Yeah, Robert.
That's
Irvine,
awesome,
cool as fuck,
man.
That's my dude right there for sure.
What show did you do with Robert Irvine?
I did an episode of Chops a couple months back, and it never actually made the air. But he was the guest host on it, and that man was funny as shit.
Now, wait, what, has it just not made air yet, or is it not going to make air? Because I know a lot of people over there in the production team for Chopped.
Yeah, so what happened was last year they did that whole Chopped Impossible, where he had all the Chopped champions win against each other in a tournament style, and then win against Robert Irvine in the end. They had this contest where I got selected to do the show, and I was expecting to do a real episode of Chops. And when I got there, it turned into be a commercial or a marketing segment for Cisco sponsored.
Right.
So it never even went on Food Network. So, you know, none of us knew that till we got out there. So we were all kind of bummed. I think Clint was actually out there. That fucker won.
Did he really?
Yeah, that's how I knew Clint when we were down in New Orleans. Clint was on the same episode with me. So we actually were in New York a few months ago.
That's a good dude right there. Clint's a good guy, man. I like him. I tell you what, Chopped is one of those funny things, man. I did a thing called Chopped Open Your Basket. It was like a commercial spot, but it was still Chopped. Like, fucking, you know, dude was there. The host was there. It was awesome. It was a lot of fun. And I won that shit. It was great, but... you know, I've been fortunate to become friends with Beth Schiff, who does a lot of casting. I'm sure you probably met at some point for Chopped. And who knows, man? You know, they don't like you to come in there if you've done TV already. But who knows what the future may hold?
Huh?
That was very, like, like subtle, wasn't it, for me?
Well, you know, Chops is one of those, man. It's like there's no way to prepare for it. Like I just did an episode back in June, and you know, you're gonna get fucked. You're gonna get stumped. It is what it is. So you just have to have the skill and experience to pull it off.
Yeah.
What's that?
I mean, that's all. And listen, don't take it seriously. Have fun with it. That's people take a shit way too seriously.
Yeah, I had a blast, and I talked a lot of shit, which was kind of fun.
Oh, brother, I've told the story before.
Hold on, I'm
going to
throw your ball real quick.
All right, go throw your ball real quick. This motherfucker, still, he's literally bowling while he's having this interview, because it's bowling night for him, which I told everybody beforehand. It was really funny. He said to me, when I was texting him, he said, don't worry. He's like, yeah, I'll be there. But I got a bowling, it's bowling league night, so I got to have a game. But don't worry, Chef. He said, my game is on point. Which I thought was really funny, because I don't really give a fuck if your game's on point, dog. I'm trying to have an interview. We can talk about this shit. But these TV shows, it's just yeah, he heard me.
Yeah, I heard you.
Was that a strike?
No, I'm getting like the EY from the whole team because I'm fucking up.
Oh, well, shit. Don't worry. You're almost done. Hang in there, bro. You're almost done.
They called me the worst bowler ever.
That's why you buy shots. They'll shut the fuck up then, right?
Yeah. Just buy everybody around on me. You want some cash?
Hey, look, I've told the story in the past, man, and I've said it in the past and kind of jokingly, but I did Cutthroat Kitchen not too long ago, and they pulled me aside. You're talking about talking shit, and they asked me to be the heel, to run my mouth and be the bad guy because no one else was talking, which I, of course, kindly did. But I think that's kind of the fun part when it comes to these shows, man, is that a lot of it is kind of this behind-the-scenes thing that goes on. But I'll tell you, a lot of the Food Network stuff, especially Top, there's not a lot of that going on, right? I mean, for me, it's always kind of been pretty legit, man. I did The Taste on ABC, a complete work, not real, totally fake. Food Network, pretty real.
Yeah, well, I think there's a difference. You know, Mark and I had this conversation because we both done so many shows, and one of the conversations we had is once you embrace the fact that it's not culinary, it's entertainment. You're on fucking TV,
mm-hmm.
and you're there to be a character. You're there to be a voice.
That's right.
You're there to provide great entertainment. So yeah, your cooking is something that is very fun to watch, but don't shut the fuck down. Like, you got to say something. You got to liven up and have some fun with it. I mean, you just made national fucking TV. Like, that's pretty cool. Not a lot of people can say that.
Enjoy that shit.
You know, and then go back to your kitchen and throw down. Do your tasting menus.
That's it. And you can make money off of it, man. You can move it on. I tell you what, I've built a business off of it, off of the stuff I've done. It's really helped me doing what I do. I can imagine it's probably helped you too.
Yeah, you about to have me start a radio station.
Hey, look here. You started Brother Luck Street Eats, man, the restaurant. I'm trying to come out there and eat. Tell me about it.
Man, so I was going to open a food truck, and that's right where the Street Eats came from. You know, urban cuisine. I'm from the hood. It just made sense. And I went to help my buddy Aaron Rivera out in Charlotte with his food truck. And I was like, fuck this. I'm way too big to be on this damn thing. And
it's small, dude.
Dude, it's so small. It was miserable. I don't know.
Hey, look here. Hey, look here, Chef. Chef, I think you, me, and Chef Mark should try to do one together, a food truck. We should go on a great food truck race. Yeah. Our three big asses.
Try to give us a fucking school bus.
That shit every night would smell like the dollar menu. It'd be fucking terrible.
Oh, it would be fucking ridiculous. We'd be drunk. I mean, it wouldn't be no food.
Hell yeah.
Just ate it.
Hell yeah.
But no, it was cool, man. I found this. I came back to Colorado Springs, and I had everything set up, and then I found this like little fucking punk rock bar called the Triple Nickel. And it was like mosh pits and fucking mohawks and leathers. And I was like, I saw a kid back and I was like, yo, can I rent that? You keep the liquor revenue, I'll keep the food revenue. And it was, I had outgrown it. So the restaurant space that I'm in right now, that's the second phase of it. I mean, it's been growing, you know, and we just come in and fucking put your head down.
Damn, I mean, it's that's what's up. And how many people do you do a night over there? Are you open every day, or what's the hours like?
We do lunch and dinner, you know, on a total day. I mean, we'll do, you know, 120, 140 covers. I mean, it's, you know, it's a small space. We got 40 seats inside. We got 38 seats outside. So, you know, we're grinding.
That's great, man. That's awesome, dude. So, look, let me ask you this, man. We were talking about it earlier before I got you on. We recently here in my state had the Greenwich Food and Wine Festival, and you know, it's kind of on par with, like, you know, SoWe down in South Beach, or, you know, Aspen out where you live, or LA out in the West Coast, LA Food and Wine. Like, you know, what are your thoughts on these festivals, man? Because I got some pretty crazy strong thoughts on it.
I mean, I think we should get paid for them. You know, I'm donating product, I'm donating time, and yep, they're the ones making the money.
They're selling tickets for $200 a pop.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, you want a donation. You know what I mean? Like, what happened to support small businesses and local businesses? You know, I'm struggling to pay my bills, but, you know, you want me to come show face and be a brand. You know, I think they're – I liked – we did one event up in Denver called – the beer festival called Brew Fru. And the amount of tickets that you sold under your promo code – determine your reimbursement for your product. So it was more inclined to push tickets because that was, you know what I mean? I can get down with that. Like, that makes sense.
That's not bad. Yeah. That's not bad at all. Yeah, but I know this festival's like,
if I'm a,
yeah, I mean, I think you're on the money there with that. And I think that, like, some of these festivals, like, for instance, here in Greenwich, man, the Greenwich Food and Wine Festival, I mean, you're talking 30 minutes outside of New York City. They, they bring these chefs in, these local chefs from all over the state, and had the opportunity to come be a part of the festival, and they come in, and, you know, they got to cook all this food, but then they bring all these Food Network people in. And I was saying this earlier, man, I'm not going to fucking rehash it, but just to get your thoughts on it about what I'm going to say, like, you know, you're going to have fucking, you know, not tooting my horn, but as an example, you're going to have me come in who's worked in a Michelin star hotel, a fucking five star AAA mobile rated hotel, who's won all these awards locally for my food. But yet I got to come in and you want me to interview Reed Drummond? What the fuck has she done?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I interviewing her?
Yeah,
she should be interviewing me.
Yeah.
Like, it's fucked up.
Yeah, do your homework.
Right? It's just fucked up. Like, but that, well, right. Like, it's just like, have them come, that's fine, but you should make it, I think it should be more about the local chefs than it is the fact that these motherfuckers are on Food Network.
Yeah, but you've been on Food Network.
Yeah, well, look, no shit, but look, I'll take Reed Drummond money any day of the week. You want me to act like I'm on a farm cooking some shit? I'll do it. I'll ride horses, I'll act like there's a fucking family and they're all outside working on the farm. I'll do all that shit.
Well,
it's fucked
know,
up, man. What do you think?
We ain't number prostitutes. We ain't number prostitutes.
That's true. I mean, I just think it's fucking crazy, man, that you have these festivals that are that big. SoWe, Aspen, Greenwich, LA, NYC, Food and Wine. These festivals make an ass fucking ton of money, yet they still even might charge the local chefs to have a table set up there and not even be able to reimburse them. It's really fucking crazy.
Hey, well, you know, I always like the comparison that chefs are just like prostitutes. Like, we dress up for daddy. We put on that cute little outfit. We work them long hours turning tricks. Like, we don't get them holidays off. And then daddy breaks you off a couple of dollars at the end of the week. Like, go buy yourself something nice. Like,
go get yourself something nice.
Like, I'm just saying, I'm from the land of the pimp. I'm from the land of the pimps. So I'm going to call the game like it is. But that's one of those things, man. You got to, as a chef, as a business person, you got to create your own stable. You got to create your own hustle. You got to be the pimp. And that's why I always tell these young chefs, man, you need to learn the business, because there is a business to it. Plus, know your craft. And then know how to talk to your people. You got to learn how to motivate and manage and control the money. Like, there's a lot more to it. So I feel you on that, man. They don't see the business side of it. And just don't get tricked out.
And that's what it is, man. It's all a fucking gimmick. And it's just, you know, like, any day, I'll put you against Reed Drummond cooking any day of the fucking week. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure Adam Richman's a great cook.
You can put me against anybody. I'm taking them down. I don't give a fuck. Like, you're going to have to beat me. That's that's how it is. Like, I know what I can do. And, you know, you might have more credentials or you might have been on more shows. But at the end of the day, I'm up later than you are studying.
But see, look, that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Like, these shows doesn't really, shows don't matter. Shows don't show that you're good at shit. Just because you host a TV show doesn't mean you can fucking cook food.
It's marketing. No, it's good for business.
That's it.
Our customers love the fact that you're on TV, regardless of how you.
Oh, that's a whole different world. Yeah.
Your customers love that stuff. So, do it. It's fun. Embrace it. It's not real cooking. You know, yeah, you're going to cook your ass off and you're going to work your ass off and it's a 16-hour day, but that ain't no different than what we do anyway. I mean, but all of a sudden you're going to go back to your restaurant and when it airs, your sales are going to increase triple, easy.
Right. Right, right, right. Well, dude, that's what's up right there. And I'll tell you what, how much longer I got to your next shot?
It's good, man. I've been playing this whole time. I'm just jumping in and out.
Yeah, no, you keep putting my shit on hold. It's fucking hysterical. Hey, look here. I'm going to get you to play a quick game with me to this segment here. A quick game with me. I'm going to get you on down the road. It's called What Did We Learn? And it's going to be about what did we learn tonight, where we're just going to say, like, you know, tonight I learned that cooking food is like turning tricks. You follow me?
All right.
All right, here we go. So check it out. We're going to play a game called What Did We Learn? It's very simple. It's brought to you by Ergo Chef Knives. Their knife is smarter than your knife, and we're going to show some little smarts right here. Check it out. In the future, ErgoChef.com. Use promo code ChefClum 15 off. Grab yourself 15 off. These are the greatest knives in the world. I use them every day. They're locally made right here by some amazing guys. ErgoChefKnives.com. All right, let's play. What did we learn? Tonight, I learned. I'll go first, Chef. Is that cool?
Who was the first question?
All right, cool. I was like, I fucking lost. All right, look, I'll go first. All right. Tonight, I learned that Chef Brother Luck hopes to be wearing boat shoes and white shorts in the future on the golf course. That's the game plan. That's the goal I learned from Chef. Chef,
yeah.
What did you learn tonight?
Awesome. I learned tonight that Chef Plum is very proud of the fact that he got to drink with me in a gay bar.
That's true. That's true. I am proud. Your mom was cool as shit, dog. Your mom was awesome.
Hey,
I'm trying to hang out
hard.
With her all the time.
Mama Luck is hard.
Look, real quick, if I might digress, I'm sitting at a table with Mama Luck, just me and her talking, because you had to step away for a minute. And she looks over at that bar and they had like some vodka with a bunch of fruit in it, like in a giant fucking like pouring thing. And she said, Plum, you want Mama Luck to grab you one of them vodka shots of that fruit in it? And I thought that was I'm from Virginia originally, kind of down south. And it just brought me back right away. And I was like, this might be the coolest human being I've ever talked to in my life. She was super cool.
Hey,
so tonight.
My mom is hard, man. She's straight up country Louisiana.
See, there you go. There you go. That's awesome, man. Hey, I also learned tonight that Chef Plum, Chef Brother Luck, and Chef Mark Henry should not start a food truck together. I learned that.
But I think that I also learned tonight that we should throw our own festival and sell our own tickets and make a shitload of money, plus cook some dope-ass food.
See, that's what's up right there. That's what I'm talking about. That is what
I am talking about.
Damn right we could. And I don't give a fuck who listens. We can just talk and laugh our balls off. Hey, and finally, I learned tonight that Chef Brother Luck is one hell of a bowler. That's what I learned.
Hey, I'm fucking up right now. Let me throw this ball real quick.
He's got to throw his ball one more time. I also learned here that Chef Brother Luck has to bowl while he does interviews. What a great guy. What a great interview. Great talk. I could talk to this guy all night long. He's just one of those dudes.
Yeah, I picked that.
He's a chef's chef.
I picked that shit up, too. Pick that shit up. That's what's up.
Look, tell him what you learned. Give him one more. What'd you learn tonight? Give him one more.
Man, I learned that I need to start a radio show so I could be like Plum when I grow up.
There you go. Look, you're making fun of me because I'm old now. That's what it is. I see what you did there. That was a little shot to the
ribs. Man, you ain't that old. You ain't that old. It's just the hair.
Hey, look here, man. See, that what it is? Look here, man. Last question for you, bro. I'm gonna get you on down the road, man. You've been very successful in your life. You've done a lot of cool shit. What would be a big piece of advice you give to young culinarians checking out this program right now? Because we get a lot of them, man, which is pretty cool. You know, if you were to give them a piece of advice, what would it be?
I think if I give advice to any young cook right now, keep your fucking knife sharp. Make sure it's a good steel. And know your basics, period. Read your homework. You know, you can't create the future if you don't know the history. So study the classics. You don't need to create – you don't have to create a new dish because the flavor profiles have already been thought out for you. We know that butter and fucking tarragon work great together. So you don't need to recreate that. Like, know your basics.
That's pretty good right there. You know, listen, an old-time wrestler back in the day once said, it's hard to know where you're going, kid, if you don't know where you came from. I think that's worse to live by.
I thought you were going to say, oh, yeah, brother.
Oh, yeah. There it goes right there. Look, make sure y'all check out my man, Chef Brother Luck. If you're in the Colorado, where's the restaurant at, man? Is it in Denver? Is it near Denver? Where's that?
We're in Colorado Springs. So I'm about to Denver. I'm chilling. Yeah. I'm in Colorado Springs, you know.
Brother Luck Street Eats, check them out. Or you can find him at the local bowling alley. That's for sure, too.
Hey, you know, I appreciate you letting me do this interview while I'm bowling, man.
I don't give a fuck. Come on.
I'm going to have to buy a lot of shots now because they all pissed off at me because my score dropped like crazy.
You just tell them that no one interviewed them. You're the one that had to do an interview while you were fucking bowling. That's what's up.
Yeah, get some. Ain't nothing y'all trying. I'm multitasking.
That's right. That's what chefs do. You can check out my man, Chef Brother Luck, on Instagram, at Chef Brother Luck, and of course, chefbrotherluck.com. He's got all kinds of shit. His pictures are awesome. He does great videos on Instagram. Brother, you're someone I'm proud to call my friend, someone I'm happy I got to know and got the chance to hang out with. Very, very humbled and blessed to have that opportunity, man. I hope we get the chance in the future.
Hey, I'm going to be out that way. I want to come ride some of them private yachts with you. I see you, son.
Let's do it. I'll set you up. I got work for you, brother. Especially in the summertime. Come on, man.
I want to catch one of them little itty bitty fishes and post it on Instagram.
Look, that motherfucker fought. You have no idea. Like that, let me tell you what. It took me 2 hours to get that fish.
It looked
in.
Like a piranha.
It looked small, but he was on steroids. That shit, it almost broke my line. I'm telling you.
you need to get a thicker line.
Look, my wife said the same thing. Hey, check it out, man. I appreciate it, man. I'm going to catch you on down the road, all right?
Nah, for sure. I'll be out that way soon, man. I'll probably be out there in the springtime. I got an event, I think, in March. So I'll be out that way.
Hey, holler at me. I'm not hard to find.
I'll meet you
holler
up.
Holler at me.
Yeah.
You got a place to stay if you need it. You got a place if you need it, man. Just let me know.
Pay for a hotel. And not give me one of those bullshit fucking bunk bed Manhattan hotel rooms.
I was going to say, it's New York, man. You ain't getting no big-ass hotel room. There you go. Hey, man, thanks for taking the time, man. I really appreciate it.
Nah, for sure, man. Anything you need, just hit me up.
My man. All right, dude, I'll catch you on down the road. There he goes, guys. Right. That's my man, Chef Brother Luck. He has got some bowling to do because it's time to bowl. I tell you what, that's the first for me. I have never done an interview Wow, a man bowls. I have. Let's get into a couple plugs to get on down the road. Hang on 1 second. Let's get a few plugs in here.
I need a little space in my mind. I need that little hope I can find. I need a little space. Is that too much to ask for? I need to feel.
That's right, guys. You've been checking out Thumb Love Foods Live right here on Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and of course, any place you find your podcast in your lifetime, whether it's the next day, the day before, the day after. Hey, we are making a push for 100 episodes. It's amazing. We're very excited about that.
also very, very excited about November 26th. Your boy's got a TV show. It's airing our first episode November 26th, Saturday morning, WCTX, My Network TV. We're very excited about it. A lot of hard work's gone into it. Hey, if we can pull this off, we are going to go national with it. We just got to give it a try once this way. It's going to be Edible Nutmeg on the road. We're very, very excited. I look forward to the future. Ladies and gentlemen, big shout out thanks to my man Chef Brother Luck on Instagram and chefbrotherluck.com. What a great guy. What a fun guy to talk to. The guy's done so much stuff. I tell you what, if you have a chance to go out to Colorado Springs, make sure you check out Brother Luck Street Eats. This guy is awesome. Also, big shout out to my man, 2016 Connecticut Chef's Challenge champion, Chef Adam Bedini. What a great guy. What a well-deserved win. And of course, I got to throw a shout out there to my man, Chef Mark Henry, for checking the show out tonight. I know he's laid up. He had a bad, bad motorcycle accident, brother. I'm thinking about you. And I hope you get a speed recovery. And I feel bad for you, dude. It's terrible, man. I'm called broken ribs, a fucked up ankle. Hey, we're pulling for you, dude. Keep checking the show out. And hey, maybe if I could talk to you, you might be a fun interview next week. Let me give you a shout, dude. Maybe we'll do that and see what's up. I mean, shit. Hey, another guy I met down in New Orleans, man. That event was just fantastic. I don't know. Anyway, guys, in the meantime, and in between time, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, please remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Let's make sure we give the time that it deserves. And I'll see you guys next Monday night, right here, on a brand new episode. See ya!
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get to